God bless you all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank the Lord for the wonderful testimony from Raleigh, Sister Wendy, Brother Clement's family. The Lord is always watching over us. The situations may corner us, that we may be threatened, that we may put into a valley, but the Lord's mighty hand is upon us all the time. So God bless you, Sister Wendy. We are encouraged by your testimony. We thank the Lord for the family of God. Without us, the church is not complete, and without the church, the bride is not complete, and without the bride, the Lord is not complete, because we are the parts of the word. May the Lord bless us as we continue the journey together. Let's all turn our Bibles to Book of Psalm, chapter 122. Chapter 122. Verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Let's all pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness in every one of our lives, and thank you, Lord, for your mercy that is absolutely wonderfully shining so bright in our life every single day, O Lord. By your mercies, we are all standing. By your mercies, we are all breathing. And by your mercies, O Lord, we are all enduring. Thank you, Lord, for the Comforter. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty hand upon every one of brothers and sisters standing in the house of the Lord Almighty. And thank you, Lord, for the family of God all around this little, small, tiny earth. From thy sight, O Lord, for heaven is your throne, earth is your footstool. And thank you, Lord, that you have assembled us as one beautiful family of God. And we bless one another in the name of Jesus Christ. And all the brethren joining us from different parts of the world. And Lord, it's a reminder that we are all parts of the word. And Lord, we are all called to conform to the word of God. Our only absolute, our only strong tower, our only redeemer, our everything, Jesus Christ, the Prince of life, the Prince of peace. Lord, may you bless us that we all stand within the gates of Jerusalem today. That the peace be within every one of us, deep within, O Lord, because you are the Lord who grant us the peace. You are the Prince of peace who rules with your peace and love. Lord, I pray for thy anointing to be upon the family of God as we about to enter into thy holy presence, O Lord. May you speak to us as a friend, face to face, O Lord, plainly, that may you bless us, our ears, our mind, our eyes, our thoughts, our hearts are anointed, consecrated, sanctified to receive what you exactly want us to receive. Nothing more, nothing less. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. We thank the Lord for this beautiful day in our life because we gathered. Because we gathered, the day is beautiful. Because the gate, the entrance of the temple, the gate was called Beautiful Gate. Amen. Do you think the gate was so beautiful, so they named the gate Beautiful Gate? So which means other gates are ugly, or other gates are not up to the par of this beautiful gate. How the scripture defines beautiful, how the scripture defines wisdom, and how the scripture differentiates gate and gates is what we are meditating to understand what exactly is the word prison gate represents. So let's have a refreshing session just to remember what we studied last Sunday. We discussed on many names of the land that was named by the persons, the servants of God. David named the place Baal Perazim. Baal means Lord, Perazim means breakthroughs. So the David wanted the people to understand the testimony of God, that the servant of God overcame all the enemies in this place. So he named the place the Master of Breakthroughs, the Lord of Breakthroughs. Jacob had a dream of the ladder, and Jacob also wrestled with the angel of the Lord. He named the place Beth El. Beth means house, El means God, so house of God. And the house of God is a hallowed place with reverence and honor. So when you hear the word hallowed, that means I must be empty. Why? If I'm not empty, I can't be filled with reverence and honor. If I'm all about myself, there is no reverence and honor. So hallowed means a place of respect, place of fear of God, a place of holiness, place of divine congregation gathering to glorify the name of the Lord. So I must empty myself. I am nothing without God. So that is Bethel. And also there is a place called Peniel, where the life of the servant of the Lord was preserved. So he named the place Peniel, saying to all of us, I did not die in the place. The Lord preserved me. Peniel. Then Massa Meribah, named by Moses. He wanted people to be reminded, this is exactly where you tempted the Lord to destroy you. You tempted the Lord to get angry beyond the limit. You tempted the Lord by disobeying Him, complaining to Him, criticizing His work. Lot of disappointments, frustration, all negativity you throw. And yet the Lord did not consume you all. So Moses named the place Massa and Meribah, a place of disobedience, a place of grumpiness, complaints, a place of, you know, unfaithfulness. That's the right word. A place of unfaithfulness. But the Lord was faithful not to destroy them all, but He waited for the second generation. And when the second generation was circumcised by Joshua, he named the place Gilgal, which means circle of stones. Like how Jesus Christ rolled the stone away by just commanding, the people moved the stones, Lazarus came out. And Joshua says, this place is where the Lord rolled away the reproach of my people. Which means, He erased the iniquity. He rewrites something in His mercy. Rolled away the reproach. So Joshua wanted to glorify the Lord. He named the place Gilgal. And finally, we arrived at the main target of last Sunday, the last son of Jacob, Benjamin. Because we discussed on lands first, named by people. But those people, the very same people, were named by God Himself. Abraham was named by Abraham, by God Almighty. Jacob was named to Israel. So now, that understanding of people changing name, translating to people name changed by people or God. So when the mother of Benjamin, Rachel, all the mothers here, you know how much you love your child. You literally enter the door of death, come back with life, with yourself and your child. But in this journey, you may not survive, or the child may not survive, or both may not survive, right? It happens so rapidly nowadays. So Rachel, she was in agony, in pain. She did not curse her son. No, that was not the mother's love. She was all for it, to give everything for her son. And she is not telling the Lord, save me and let my son die. No. And no mother would say that. No father would say that. So as a mother, she was in pain, she was in agony, she was telling the truth. This son is a son of sorrows because she conceived him in pain. Her soul is departing. But she is not someone unique or someone very specific in the scripture who named the son, son of sorrows. No. Book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 3 to 5 says, Jesus Christ is called what? Man of sorrows. Jesus Christ himself was called man of sorrows. There must be a beginning to link these statements. Let's go to Genesis. Let's start from Genesis today. Genesis chapter 1. So, I just want to read two verses first, the first two. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The very first two verses of the book of Genesis. Now let's go to chapter 3. This is where temptation comes, fall of man happens, then the inevitable curse from God Almighty is given freely. Chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. He still keep that serpent in the category of beast. And above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. All the days of thy life. He did not say my life. Isn't it? What life you gained when you received Christ, not your life. He is the life. Jesus says, I am the life. Amen? Which means we are all living in him. I do not have my own life. There is no own light. John the Baptist says, I am not the light. He is the true light. I'm just a mirror reflecting. Which means I am not the life. He is the life. I'm just reflecting his life. His life. And the Lord says, all the days of thy life. King Saul meets Prophet Samuel when he was confounded by inquiring different false prophets, although he was anointed. He tells Prophet Samuel, can we go and worship thy God? Remember, do you know how powerful those words are? Samuel would be looking at him, would be crying inside. Our God, man, our God, what happened to you? He didn't lie. Saul was blinded. Thy God, let's don't offend thy God. Let's worship thy God. But the same King Saul was worshipping God with Prophet Samuel. That is why when Saul fell from disgrace, Samuel could not recover. He was crying, crying, crying to the point where God came and told Samuel, how long I have to wait for you? Get up. Let's go. Let's go and find the son of Jesse, David. Now, thy God, thy life, there is a seclusion, like excluding that I am not identifying myself with you. Die. This is very important. The Lord, when he speaks, we should be under the roof of mine, not thine. Let's continue. Verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I just started the sermon with peace, 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 peace. Psalm 122. You stand within the gates of the house of the court of the Lord, you receive peace. Because the Lord says, peace is within the world, not outside. Amen? And the Lord says, I will create enmity. I will create a problem between thee. This is because he is throwing them out. All of them will be thrown out from the Garden of Eden, which was sanctified for peace and life. That since the abomination was committed, the Lord says, get out. Outside, what is there? Enmity, hatred, jealousy, revenge, murder. Everything is there freely. Look at the verse 16. Unto the woman, the very first woman who gave birth to a very first child, And that child is not the child of Adam. Have you ever thought about that? God created man. Praise the Lord. Adam, hey, first Adam. God, from God directly. Cain comes out first child, not from Adam. From serpent. He says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and conception. So Rachel was lying? No. Book of Isaiah chapter 53 was lying? No. It all started from Genesis chapter 1 verse 16. Unto the woman the Lord says, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Then in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. So Rachel, she did not simply cry in agony. She was fulfilling what the Lord said to all of us. Even the church is a woman traveling in pain, pangs, no, in her pangs, to bring forth the fruit. That is the fellowship of enduring his sufferings. Now, sorrow. A child is conceived from the journey of pain and sorrow. But when Father Jacob changed the name, he did not say to the wife, you are wrong. He tells to all of us, the Lord is able to turn my sorrows into joy, to turn my weakness into strength, to turn my death into life, to turn my repentance into salvation. Godly sorrow worketh for salvation. Amen? Godly sorrow worketh to salvation. Rachel was in godly sorrow because she asked for the child to uphold the integrity, to complete the full puzzle of Jacob. He was not complete with 11. There must be 12. Why the Lord was crucified? The 12 disciples were not complete. One of them left. Amen? One of them turned the back and betrayed him. So he became 11. He was incomplete. So they took him when he was not complete. And he was left all alone. Why? When there is no unity, enemy will prevail. And the Lord allowed this to happen because he is righteous. Everybody goes by the book. If the 12 disciples stood with Jesus, no one can come near to him. Why? They would say, we are forming a wall of 12 disciples. Kill us first before you touch our master. No one said that. Isn't it? None. Everybody ran away. Because witnessing the name of Jesus Christ is impossible without the power of Holy Ghost. So Jesus Christ, he showed a spectacle to all of us. If you don't have Holy Ghost, forget about witnessing me. You can't. You cannot. You may do it for your own dishonest gains of pride, arrogance. Oh, I'm a spiritual person. Do you know how many people I've witnessed? I'm still counting. The Lord is watching. 11 disciples stood with Jesus, one betrayed, he was crucified. 11 sons were born, Jacob's name was not changed to Israel. Before the 12th son, Genesis 35 verse 16, before that, Jacob's name was changed. In verse 10, verse 16, Rachel gave birth to a child, Benjamin. And the father says, you are right, he is the son of sorrows. But both of us can't do it. By him, it is possible. He said his name will be Benjamin, son of strength. Right hand. So Jesus Christ claimed the same, man of sorrows. He was in agony. He was in pain. They killed him, slaughtered him, murdered him. But he resurrected. The Father in heaven changed the name, glorified Jesus Christ. The Son of God seated in the right hand of the Father. So Jacob was prophesying. Do you remember? Jesus was younger than John the Baptist, right? He was born first. John the Baptist was the elder cousin. He was born before Jesus, right? Because Elizabeth conceived before Mary. And these two pregnant women, Elizabeth and Mary, they met, they greeted one another. But when these two pregnant women, Leah and Rachel, they envied one another. Oh, Joseph, let me go and try. Oh, Reuben, Levi, oh, let me go and try. There was a competition between them. Because those two sisters were comparing one another. Always. My husband is better than you. Oh, we have same husband. Okay, we can't compare the husband now. Let's go for the son. My son is better than you. My son is better than you. There was a contention, an unholy contention. But when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he was crucified, was there any contention? Because there was no one to take his place. Everybody left him behind. He was standing alone. There was no one to say, I will die before you. No. That's why Jesus said, you wait until you receive the power. And when that power comes, you will be a witness unto me. And that power, he gave it to us by death. He died, resurrected, then he gave the Holy Ghost. If you meditate this, on the cross, the Bible says, Jesus gave up the ghost, not the Holy Ghost. He gave up the ghost, correct? He died. He said, it is finished. My Father, why thou hast forsaken me? He said, it is finished. He gave up the ghost when he died. When he resurrected, he gave the Holy Ghost. Went up, came down. And the two angels spoke to the disciples, the same way he went up, okay, he will come in the same way. Not as a lamb, but as a lion. This is where the people of Israel, they were blinded. They were looking for a lion of Judah with a roaring sound. And Jesus came with a lowing, bellowing sound of a lamb. They didn't bother him. Just move away. Where is my Messiah? Misplacing seasons. Amen? Misunderstanding God's work. Just by presuming, moving, replacing one with another, the whole Bible will become a falsehood. And the Bible is screaming at all of us, be established in the present truth. What is the season today? Be established, not in yesterday one. You will be played out. Now, from that perspective, the Lord speaks to the woman, you will bring this child out of your sorrow. Remember. And the child should remember, my mother conceived me in sin. Correct? So, the child will say, I was conceived in sin. And the mother would say, my son of sorrows. And the Lord would say, I will erase everything. My mercy will rewrite your life, son of strength, when we receive Christ. Now, Genesis speaks about that. And verse 15, you could see that I will put an enmity between thy seed and her seed. So I'm going to link two important characters. One in the Old Testament, who had no army, no palace, no church, no kingdom. He was a wanderer. Then he became a sojourner, Abraham. In the New Testament, this betraying man, who was Simon Peter, but he became a mighty apostle. And the Lord said, I will build my church upon you. And he speaks to Abraham, I will build my nation through you. And Jesus speaks to Peter, I will build my church. You are the rock. You could see there is a similarity in promises. Church and nation. And later the church is called royal nation, holy priesthood. Amen. Now let's bring this together. Genesis 22. Let's listen to what God spoke to Abraham. Then we will understand why he speaks the same to Apostle Peter. Genesis 25 verse 15 to 18. Genesis 22 verse 15 to 18. I shall read. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. Out of heaven, the angel of the Lord called Abraham second time. And he said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. So, there is a conversation, and the Lord is going by one, like checklist, like fact list. Because you did not withhold your only son, I'm not withholding myself from blessing you. So, there is a blessing ready to pour upon Abraham. Verse 17, that in blessing, I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Enemies, plural. Gate, singular. Now, if he was still alive, don't forget, Methuselah was 969 years old. Adam was 930 years old. If the Lord doubled their lifetime, they could be still alive when this all happened, right? Let's assume the great-great-great-great-grandmother of Abraham, Eve, because she's the mother of all. If she's standing listening to this, my grandson, well done. In book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 15, 16 says, the Lord was telling the woman, you will conceive in pain, sorrow, agony, and I will put enmity between your seed and thy seed. There's going to be so many things. But for Abraham, very similar, but all beautiful. Isn't it? Read this again. I will multiply thy seed, but for Eve, I will multiply thy sorrow. Isn't it? I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. That is for, you know, what was given to serpent Eve, Adam. But for Abraham, I will multiply thy seed like the stars of heaven and like the sand which is upon the seashore. Thy seed, singular, your seed, shall possess the gate of his enemies. His enemies, not her enemies, not their enemies. Pure, singular, one. One seed will come, will hold that one gate of the entire enemies. He will hold the gate. Now turn to book of Matthew, chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 18. What was spoken to Apostle Peter? Matthew 16, 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. For Eve and Adam, the Lord says, I will put enmity between your seed and the seed of serpent, but you will crush, bruise the head by your heel. And for Abraham, your seed will multiply like stars and sand, like how the rainbow is a covenant between heaven and earth, stars and sand. Sand represents earth, stars represent heaven, and that is in between, the rainbow, like how the Lord spoke to Noah. And to Abraham, it is spoken, gate of his enemies, the seed will have preeminence. Gate. So Genesis, Matthew, and Abraham, Eve, and Peter. So we have established the bridge. Now, let's turn your Bibles to book of Revelation. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21. Verse 10 to 18. Yes, brother. Book of Revelation chapter 21, verse 10 to 18.
And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as a crystal. Also, she has a great high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city is laid out as a square, its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured his wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. And the construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass.
The city was pure gold and crystal clear glass, like that. Book of Revelation 21, before the last chapter 22, the vision of Apostle John given by our Lord and Savior is presented so explicitly. The key verse that I want all of us to reflect first is verse 12. Verse 12 says, had a wall, one wall, great and high. One wall. Which means it was not separated, only the doors were placed as part of one single wall. Had 12 gates. 12 gates, 3 per side, 4 directions, 4 times 3, 12. And at each gate, angels were standing. At the gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So, the 12 tribes, the 12 sons of Jacob, and especially the 12th one, Benjamin, who completed the life of Jacob, 12. Those names of the tribes of Israel are written on those 12 gates. Now, as we continue, verse 16 says, the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Which means it's nothing but a perfect square. A perfect square. Because length, breadth, height, all equal. It's perfect square. No partiality, no crookedness, absolutely symmetric. Verse 17. Verse 19 to 27, brother. Verse 19 to 27. Read this first, please. Verse 19 to 27.
The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, chalcedony. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysoprase. The 11th, hyacinth. And the 12th, amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls.
Amen.
Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is his light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in his light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor unto it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or cause an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Please be seated. The gates not shut because no night. So let's look at these keywords before we continue. Chapter 21 focused on 12 gates. At the 12 gates, 12 angels, and the names are written, 12 tribes of Israel. And there are 12 foundations of the apostles who were rooted on that single foundation, Jesus Christ, because he is the chief cornerstone, the foundation that is sure. So there are 12 foundations of the apostles. So the apostles' names are written on the foundations, and the tribes' names written on the gates. Gates, foundation, gate, gates. Foundations, plural. Foundation, singular, always represent the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The gate, the foundation. Gates, tribes of Israel. Foundations, apostles, 12. And these gates are not shut because there was no night. If there was night, those gates must be shut. But this is the end of all. So we see there is no night. But we are not there yet. We have day and night. Now, verse 25 says, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. So this is how book of Revelation 21 captures gates, foundations, tribes, apostles. 12:12. The names are not forgotten. Chapter 22, verse 12. Let me read this. The very last chapter of book of Revelation and the entire book of Bible. Verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Verse 15 is quite harsh and very straightforward. And it says, inside the gates, those are gods. Outside the gates, verse 16 says, 15 says, for without, which means within the gates are seats of God. Without means outside the gate. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. If we read this literally, we may think it is representing the evil people of the world that we see in the news channels. No, it is deep. Dogs that runs after some lust, whatever it can be in our spiritual life. Sorcerers, like Simon the sorcerer, who was trying to buy spirituality by his money, by what he had, his wealth, to try to feel like a spiritual person. Sorcerer, fortune tellers, false prophets, who are want to misuse the word spirituality, the word serving God for their own gain. Sorcerers. Whoremongers, forsaking the husbandman, our Lord and Savior, the groom, the master, the prince of life who died for me on the cross, and go for everything else, every other gods, including the work of your own hands. Worshipping the work of your own hands is the worst idolatry that we can commit. That is the next one. Murderers, he that hateth his brother, killed him in his heart. And the last one, murderers, isolators, idolaters, idol worship, idolizing something. Most importantly, idolizing oneself. That's what's happening to all the countries. They all think that they're superpower, isn't it? Everyone is idolizing themselves. Now, verse 14 is the last verse where you heard the word gates. That's it. That is the last verse in the entire book of Bible where you see the word gates. And that is plural. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the gate, the door is speaking. And he finished by saying, he which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And that is how the whole Bible ends. Now, we have got the numbers, 12 gates, 12 foundations, names of the gates, 12 tribes of Israel. Now, let's turn our Bibles to book of Ezekiel. Before I go into Jeremiah, I want all of us to go and eat the pasture from book of Ezekiel, book of Revelation, and book of Nehemiah. Chapter 48, book of Ezekiel. Please be prepared with the image. I will ask after this. Chapter 48, verse 29 to 35, my brother. Ezekiel 48, 29 to 35.
This is a land which you shall divide by lot as an inheritance among the tribes of Israel. And these are their portions, says the Lord. These are the exits of the city, on the north side, measuring 4,500 cubits. The gates of the city shall be named after the tribes of Israel. The three gates northward, one gate for Reuben, one gate for Judah, one gate for Levi. On the east side, 4,500 cubits, three gates. One gate for Joseph, one gate for Benjamin, and one gate for Dan. On the south side, measuring 4,500 cubits, three gates. One gate for Simeon, one gate for Issachar, and one gate for Zebulun. On the west side, 4,500 cubits with their three gates. One gate for Gad, one gate for Asher, and one gate for Naphtali. All the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there.
Can you read the last verse again?
All the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there.
The Lord is there. What a powerful way to end one of the most important prophetical books, Book of Ezekiel. Chapter 48, verse 35, it was round about 18,000 measures. He was measuring every inch of it. And the name of the city that day shall be, the Lord is there. Last Sunday, I showed different cities, different lands, named my people, Perazim, Peniel, Bethel, Massa, Meribah. But this city was named, the Lord is there. So we are all taking a bus. The driver is asking, where do you want to go? The Lord is there. He will tell us, get out. No, I want to go where the Lord is. Do you see the name of the city? You want to go to the city of the Lord? Go to the place where the Lord says, I am here. And Abraham reports to God on the mountain. God says, Abraham, where are you? Here I am. You flip it, I am here. And what we read here, the Lord is there. Do you see any difference? That is nothing but resonation of agape. The Lord says, I am here. And the child says, here I am. I'm here, Lord. The Lord says, I'm also here. Because you're my child. Book of Ezekiel is still not fulfilled yet. Amen? 38, 39. Going to come and slap the whole world. It's about to come. Psalm 83, already dancing to the tune of the salvation of the Lord. We live in such a time, and Book of Ezekiel ends by saying, the name of the city that day shall be. What do you mean that day? Why not forever? No, that day, when the day of my life, when the Lord comes, everybody will say, the Lord is there. And those who came to arrest Jesus, they were looking for Jesus. What he said? I'm here. You are looking for Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It is I. What do you mean, it is I? Could use some better grammar. You can say, oh, I am the one. I am himself. Sometimes the Lord says, it is I. The Lord is there. Which city can claim that name? And Jeremiah is telling all the people, evacuate from Jerusalem, go to Chaldeans. And the people will look at him deeply, the Lord is here. You are telling us to leave the Lord, we will kill you. Obvious, right? Now, let's turn our Bibles to Psalm chapter 24. We started by Psalm 122. Which talks about within the gates, without the gates. That is what reflected in the book of Revelation. Now we read 24 verse 7 to 10. I will read this. Psalm 24 verse 7 to 10. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Let's stop there. What do you mean by lift up your heads? Gates or gates? Why there are heads to the gates? What kind of gate it is? What are those gates which can lift up the head? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. Everlasting door? Which door it is? Wooden door? Iron door? Everlasting door? We only heard about everlasting life. And the Lord says, I am the door. What is everlasting doors? It's plural, not singular. And the King of Glory shall come in. Jesus says, I will come like a thief, but I am not a thief. And come and knock the door. He that hath an ear, let him hear. If he can know that I am there, if he was sensitive to my spirit, he will open the door, I will come and sup with him. Happened to Zacchaeus, right? He was waiting for the Lord, sitting on the branches. Why? He was short. He could not see Christ because people were so taller than him. Bigger than him. He was so weak. The flesh was weak. But the spirit was willing. He looked for the tree of life. he climbed, he soared above the storm like an eagle. He climbed above all the flesh. He saw his Savior. And he knew, my Lord is coming. Behold, my Lord is coming. He was desperately smelling, sensing, seeing, listening, meditating for the coming of the Lord. And the Lord saw him and told him, come down. Let's go to your house. I want to eat with you. Zacchaeus was surprised. I was not worthy. That is exactly why I'm eating with you. You understood you are not worthy. You are not a man of pride. Close to contrite spirit, broken heart. Amen? Always. Now, Book of Psalms chapter 24, verse 7 says, lift up your heads, which means the heads were down. Again, lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Spiritual uprightness. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. The question is asked, answer also given. Again, verse 9. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And Jesus says, I'm coming very soon. And verse 10 says, who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Just four verses, Book of Psalm, chapter 24. Now, let's show the wilderness where the 12 tribes were assembled, where the Levites were at the center, the first image. You could notice there is a difference in how Book of Ezekiel presented the 12 tribes. 3 per side. Amen? But here, there are 13 if you count Levi. If you do not count Levi, it's exactly 12. Amen? Because the two sons of Joseph, Ephraim, Manasseh, because of the two seeds of Joseph, the total count is 13. But the Lord says, don't count Levi. They are mine. He took them to the center. Then he assembled the rest of 12, 3 per direction. Starting from east and west, you could see west is Benjamin, east Judah, and goes on. But Book of Ezekiel, the very last chapter, 48, it presented this in a different way, where Levi was also parked as one of the tribes on one side. Now, let's go to the next one. Here, there is only one entrance, amen, for them to bring the beast to be sacrificed, and all the inner parts of the beast will be exposed. Then they will choose what can go inside. There was a filtering process before Aaron can complete what's to be done inside the Holy of Holies. No one can enter other than Aaron. Amen? Do you know in those times people are not supposed to touch Aaron? And Jesus told the woman who was trying to touch him when he was about to ascend. He said, woman, don't touch me. I'm going to my father, your father, my God, your God. He simply said, you are part of my God. Just wait. I will come and take you. Just wait patiently. I'll come and take you home. Don't be impatient. Now, here we see only one entrance because the Holy of Holies was at the corner. Now, the next one, you can go to the next slide as we have seen the contents of it. Yes, keep it here. But here, when Herod was repairing the temple and they introduced a lot of man-made traditions because there were Gentiles who started accepting what Jews were doing in those times. Why? Because of captivity. If Nebuchadnezzar did not come in 600, BC time, kingdom of Judah would not have been taken over. After that, kingdom of Greek, kingdom of Romans, kingdom of Persia, so many kingdoms ruled the lands of God, and there were a lot of mixtures, right? Court of Gentiles was introduced, but yet only the Jews were allowed to go inside to offer sacrifices. There were classifications. So we have seen the change from wilderness of entrance curtain. Then in the times of Jesus, it became South Gate, North Gate, Golden Gate, Beautiful Gate. So many ways of entry points. Amen. Now, let's stop there. Let's turn our Bibles to Let's turn our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 1. Now, let's go to Jeremiah. Listen from him how he perceived the gates according to the calling that had been given to him. I want to start from chapter 1, verse 15. Because this is where the Lord gives the calling to Jeremiah. He says, verse 15, "For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come. And they shall set everyone his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah." Why at the gates of Jerusalem? To invade. Because the gates are shut. To invade, to wage a war against the kingdom of Judah. This entering is different from what book of Psalm we read, which is Psalm chapter 100. Let's go there. Psalm chapter 100. Let's go there. What is this entering in, which we always sing, the fifth song number in our song book, right? This is the verse that is the root of that song. Chapter 100, verse 4. "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him, and bless his name." This is enter into his gates, that is glorifying the name of God. That is Psalm chapter 104. But book of Jeremiah, verse 1, chapter 115, sounds similar, but it is different. The Lord says, "I'm going to take over the city to take them to captivity." So chapter 1, let's go back. Jeremiah chapter 1. It says, "At the entering of the gates of Jerusalem and against all the walls thereof round about." Book of Revelation focuses on one wall, 12 gates. Amen. Book of Jeremiah, multiple walls, multiple gates. That talks about division. Because kingdom of Israel was already taken into captive. Now we are in kingdom of Judah. Now, let's read Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 1 to 6, so that we will call help from Nehemiah to understand what Jeremiah is speaking here. Chapter 19, verse 1 to 6, my brother.
"Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen flask, and take some of the elders of the people and some of the elders of the priests, and go to the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the portsket gate, and proclaim there the words that I will tell you, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, behold, I'll bring such a catastrophe on this place that whoever hears of it, his ears will tingle, because they have forsaken me, and they have made this an alien place, because they have burned incense in it to other gods, whom neither they, their fathers, nor the kings of Judah have known, and have filled this place with the blood of the innocents. They have also built the high places of Baal, to burn their sons with fire for offerings of Baal, which I did not command or speak, nor did it come into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Topheth, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter."
Last verse, please, again.
"And therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Topheth, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter."
Valley of slaughter. Remember this, I'm writing here, Topheth means it's a fireplace where something is burning. It's a place of burning, that is Topheth. A place of burning. And the Lord says it will be a valley of slaughter. Chapter 19 up to verse 6. Now I will read from verse 12. same chapter, let's continue. Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 12. Thus will I do unto this place, saith the Lord, unto the inhabitants thereof, even make this city as Tophet, like a burning furnace, a place of fire, place of burning. And the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as the place of Tophet, again burning place, because of all the houses upon whose roofs they have burned incense unto the host of heaven and have poured out drink offering unto other gods. Verse 14, look at this. Verse 14 says, then came Jeremiah from Tophet. From Tophet, from the place of burning, Jeremiah came. Whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, thus saith the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, and that they might not hear my words. That is why 2 Sundays ago, we had the series on, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion, before the Lord decides to deal with you. That is verse 15. Says, harden their necks, not hearts, and they might not hear my words. So the Lord is telling why I'm going to change the place as Tophet. So Jeremiah 19 verse 1 to 6 and 12 to 15 we have read. And now I want us to go to book of Nehemiah. Because why so many gates are mentioned? Why these confusions? Why it can't be simple? It is simple. The truth is always simple. Book of Nehemiah chapter 3. Book of Nehemiah, chapter 3. You just heard about necks that are not bending to the Lord. And let's read from Nehemiah, who confirms it, who lived in a different time from Jeremiah. Chapter 3, verse 1. Book of Nehemiah. Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priest, and they builded the sheep gate. So we all know Nehemiah was a builder, like a contractor to God who received a divine contract to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and also to place the doors to protect the city. They started by building the sheep gate with the help of Eliashib the high priest. They sanctified it, set up the doors of it, which means sheep gate had doors in it. Even unto the tower of Mia, they sanctified it unto the tower of Hananel. Now, look at the board. I wrote what it means. Mia means 100. Okay, the tower of 100. For instance, if there are 100 people working, we can say you can work in the tower or rest in the tower. Or it represents a tower of 100. Mia means literally number 100. Something that is quantifiable. Tower of Mia, which is tower of 100. But Hananel means graciously given. It means grace of God. Like Israel, Hananel. Hananel, Yel. So God gives grace. So graciously given. Tower of Hananel, tower of grace. Tower of Mia, tower of 100. Let's keep it simple there. And Tophet means burning place. So far we are good. Verse 12. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho. Jericho is our enemy. Why are you bringing men of Jericho? The Lord destroyed Jericho in the times of Joshua. The word Jericho is so evil. We don't want to keep anyone who is from Jericho. Our opinions are not taken into account in God's plan. Verse 2. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho. And next to them builded Zakur the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasena build, who also laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof and locks thereof and bars thereof. So every door had a lock. If they made lock, there must be a key. Amen? I hope no one disagrees with me. Lock comes with key. No shop will sell you lock alone. It comes with a key. You only ask for a lock, but they'll give you the key. It is part of the lock. It can't be sold separately. Every lock is uniquely designed with a unique key. So they made the locks. I'm not going to read all the verses, but from verse 4 until verse 21, what you would see is precise classification, very specific instruction, categorizing people, setting them, placing them with very, very clear instruction, what they should do, what they should not do, which family belongs to what, which tribe belongs to what, complete clear postmortem. No, like completely separating the parts of the word and telling them what you should do. Given by Nehemiah by the inspiration of God. I want to focus from verse 22. Last Sunday I asked you to meditate the chapter. I pray you did. Verse 22. And after him repaired the priest, the men of the plain. Hallelujah. I love this identification. Can you call us men of Anathoth or men of Jerusalem? Just give us some title, man. Men of the plain. And then repaired the priest. No names, no title, no family. At least tell that we are the special category from Moses or Aaron. Just tell some name so that we won't feel some sect, not like some kind of group. No, as simple as plain water. After him, repaired the priest, no family names, men of the plain, not even a land name. And God tells Ezekiel, go to the plain. What is the plain? Verse 23, after him repaired Benjamin and Hashub over against their house. After him repaired Azariah, the son of Maaseiah, the son of Ananiah, by his house. Against his house, by his house. What kind of work was going on during the repair process? You could see the word repair, repair, repair throughout chapter 3. That is Nehemiah 3. A chapter of repairing. Then, verse 28. From above the horse gate, repaired the priest, everyone over against his house. So the priests are keep on coming for different gates, different repair work. They were a common element, like a cement. The stones are different, but single cement, same mortar. They were filling the gap. That is verse 28. Verse 32. And between the going up of the corner unto the sheep gate, repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants. The chapter starts with sheep gate and the chapter ends with sheep gate. Amen? A perfect circle. Starts with the sheep and with the sheep. Rings a bell. Starts with the sheep. A lost sheep. Ends with the sheep. The very last found sheep. Sheep gate. Start from sheep gate. End from sheep gate. Started with high priest Eliashib. Ends with goldsmith and merchants. This is Nehemiah 3. I'm not reading the full chapter. Now, Nehemiah chapter 7. Verse 1 to 4. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 1 to 4. Now it came to pass, when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors. Nehemiah, don't be so selfish. You did not set up the doors. There are people working. There are so many families distributing the task. But Nehemiah is not speaking. Sometimes, we limit God in God's work, forgetting the fact that He is Almighty. The servant of the Lord is declaring the goodness of God. Read this as if the word of God is speaking to us. He says, it came to pass, the fulfillment of the prophecy of his promises came to pass. When the wall was built, I thought walls. Chapter 1, verse 15 says walls, plural. But how come it became wall? When the wall was built, which means singular, he made one single wall as he was commanded, but it was divided in the first place. He repaired the division and he established unity. And I set up the doors, multiple doors, and the porters and singers and the Levites were appointed. Singers, who are those? True worshippers. Worship God in truth. Amen? Singers and Levites. Priestlyhood. Verse 2. Then I gave my brother Hanani. I gave my brother Hanani and the Hananiah, the ruler of the place, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above money. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Nehemiah, you are the builder, man. If you bid for the election, no one can stand against you. Nehemiah says, I'm just a builder. The Lord had chosen a faithful man who feared him, not the one who served him. Everyone can serve for their own gain, but only those who are his will fear him. Feared God above many. Many are called, few are chosen. Who are those few? These are the few. Those who feared God above many. Everybody feared him for death, for punishment. Oh, if I don't pray, something will happen to me. If I don't pray before I take the flight, flight will fall. If I don't pray before I go to something, something will happen to me. Me. That is selfishness. That's not the fear. This fear is, what is if my life ends without doing nothing for God? What a life it is. That fear. And that one God appointed as a ruler, charge of Jerusalem. David would say, well done, good job. Because David is the one who built Jerusalem. And Solomon took it. The work was so great. And the father said, I will prepare all the hard work. Son, come and finish it. 4,000 years of Old Testament, 2,000 years of New Testament. He finished it. It is finished on the cross. Amen? The Son of God. Look at the verse. Verse 3. And I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. Book of Revelation says, gates shall not be shut in the day because there is no night. Nehemiah says, do not open the gate. Jesus says, gates are not closed. Nehemiah says, do not open the gates. Time, the time that is between them, the grace that comes to an end. Do not open the gates until the sun is hot. When the sun is hot, what do you mean? The light is shining full because of the warm. It's quite hot. And Nehemiah says, that is a sign. Until then, don't open. While they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them. So, doors had bars, metal bars. If you see some historical documentaries, all the big gates will have a lock. But instead of a lock, that will be big metal rod. You'll have to slide in and lift up. Like a hinge mechanism. That bar, and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now you understand what is Tower of Mia. Tower of 100. What is this tower? All the words of tower means watchmen are sitting in those towers to watch for enemies and to look for the well-being of his people. Not proclaimed by themselves, appointed by God Almighty. Because there are a lot of watchmen in the world who call themselves, we are gatekeepers, we are watchmen. No. No one will pronounce himself as a watchman. The law will come and say, he or this ministry, this church, this land, this group of congregation are my watchmen. Because why? Eyes of God, the Spirit of God searches all things. Amen? No one can hide from the Spirit of God. That is what Book of Job says. And the Lord says, if someone is watchman, the king of Hezekiah, he had three watchmen sitting on the wall, right? What does it mean? Those three watchmen are the eyes of King Hezekiah. So King of Glory shall come in. Book of Psalm, chapter 122:24, talks about King of Glory shall come in. And the watchmen are the eyes of God. He sees through them, he hears through them, and he speaks through his prophets, right? We are the gates of God Almighty. When we pray, what do? We bring the petition of someone and we bring it to the Lord. The Lord says, I'm hearing through my ears. When you speak for him, I'm speaking through my mouth. When you do for him, I'm working through my hands. Body of Christ. Now, verse 4 says, now city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded. Feared God above many, which means few. City was large and great, but few people inside, and the houses were not built yet. This is the Old Testament, time of Nehemiah. Now, I will show you one verse from chapter 3. which is completely, I would say, shocking and surprising to all of us, why this verse was recorded. Chapter 3, verse 5. Remember book of Jeremiah, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O daughter of captive, daughter of Zion. And Jeremiah chapter 9 says, they hardened their neck, did not obey my voice, so I will make the place as Tophet. Now, verse 5. And next unto them, the Tekoites repaired. So they were also doing the work. They had a name, Tekoites. There are so many names, can't pronounce it properly. But this name I can pronounce so precisely. But their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. Why they were called nobles? Because they called themselves noble. I'm a noble person. Very spiritual person. Very good person. Very strong person. Very fervent person. They did not put their neck to the work of the Lord. For what? Because of the very same noble attitude. This is the only verse in the entire chapter where the Lord captured explicitly, they did not put their neck. Am I right? It says neck. They, their nobles, put not their necks to the work of their Lord. Work is singular. Lord is singular. Necks is plural, which means many. And Jeremiah is also addressing the same. Nehemiah is telling, I had the same. But yet, the work was completed in 52 days. Amen? 52 days, as the Lord spoken, the work was complete. Why? No one is indispensable. If Nehemiah steps down, God will raise another one. If the entire congregation steps down, the Lord will raise people from the ashes. From the bone, He will raise. Why? The work of the Lord is the manifestation of the word of the Lord. And the whole heaven and earth may perish, but the word of the Lord shall never ever perish. And the book of Psalms says, the Lord hath magnified His word above His name. So, the gates are formed by Nehemiah, repaired, city is good, sounds very positive. Let's go to book of Nehemiah, chapter 12, verse 39 to 40. Chapter 12, verse 37 to 40. And at the fountain gate, which was over against them, they went up by the stairs of the city of David, at the going up the wall above the house of David, even unto the vast water gate eastward. Can't visualize anything. So let's bring the image, the last image of gates of Jerusalem in the time of Nehemiah. Water gate, east gate, golden gate, Tekoa gate, Esim gate. For the last few weeks, my mind is keep on thinking about gates, gates everywhere. You know, open the church gate, open the gate of repentance. Oh, Brother Ronnie had a vein gate for the treatment. Anything that allows something to be done, it's a way, it's a pass through, it's a road, a way which was sealed and it was opened, a gate, an entry point. So now, chapter 3 covers all these gates, start from sheep gate, end at prison gate. And the whole chapter ends back again at sheep gate. So let's assume this is sheep gate, and this is the fish gate, this is the yeast gate, and this is the horse gate. And you could see the pattern remains the same, and some landmarks added here, which are not here, the temple, the tombs of David, the fountain gate, the pool of Siloam, and the king's garden. And there are a lot of gates. But today, I want us to remember, each gate had a gatekeeper. Each gate was meant to allow someone to go in and to go out. There was a dedicated group of people allowed. Not everyone can enter by horse gate. Not everyone can enter by sheep gate. They were all constrained by the gate that was given to them as a point of entry. For instance, when Jehoiada anointed King Joash, the 6-year-old boy, Athaliah was so angry because she was hearing the noise of praises, singing, worship. She was so angry, she could not take it. she wanted to come, the Bible says she entered through the horse gate by which the horses will enter. 2 Chronicles 23 verse 13. Let's complete this first. 2 Chronicles 23 verse 13. Yes, 2 Chronicles chapter 23 verse 13. I will read this. So remember this time when Jehoiada was preserving the king from Athaliah, who was destroying the royal seats. Verse 13 says, chapter 23 verse 13 to 17, it talks about the entry of Athaliah, but before that something happened. I want us to focus on that. Verse 13 says, and she looked, and behold, the king stood at his pillar at the entering in, and the princes and the trumpets by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and sounded with trumpets, and all the singers with instruments of music, and as such taught to sing praise. Then Athaliah rent her clothes and said, treason, treason. This all happened when she came. When she saw that, she said, treason, treason. She was very angry. Then Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains of 100 that were set over the host, and said unto them, have her forth of the ranges. Whosoever followeth her, let him be slain with the sword. For the priest said, slay her not in the house of the Lord, because the house of the Lord was meant to keep the promise of Book of Psalms, peace be within the walls, peace be within the gates. Now, verse 15 says, so they laid hands on her. When she was come to entering of the horse gate by the king's house, they slew her there. She entered by the horse gate and they slew her there. And the Bible says, she was taken in the same manner out. This is how the death of Athaliah recorded and the horse gate was mentioned. Now, chapter 25, verse 17. Just two chapters after. Yes, 25, verse 17. 17 to 23, brother. Please read this for us. 17 to 23.
Now Amaziah, the king of Judah, asked advice and sent Joash, the son of Joahaz, the son of Jehu, the king of Israel, saying, come, let us face one another in battle. And Joash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, the king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give your daughter to my son as wife. And a wild beast that was in Lebanon passed by and trampled the thistle.
Yes.
Indeed, you say, you have defeated the Edomites, and your heart is lifted up to boast. Stay at home now. Why should you meddle with trouble, that you shall fall, you and Judah with you? But Amaziah would not heed, for it came from God, that he might give them into the hand of their enemies, because they sought the gods of Edom. So Joash, king of Israel, went out, and he and Amaziah, the king of Judah, faced one another at Beth Shemesh, which belongs to Judah. And Judah was defeated by Israel, and every man fled to his tent. Then Joash, the king of Israel, captured Amaziah, the king of Judah, son of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, at Beth Shemesh, and he brought him to Jerusalem, and broke down the walls of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits.
Please be seated, brother. God bless you. My brethren, kingdom of Judah, kingdom of Israel. Amen. This Joash, this King Amaziah, they represent the seeds of God. Amen. If not, the kingdom was divided, it would have been different. So on one side, King Amaziah, on the other side, King Joash. But both of them are from Jacob, one Israel, one father. Now, Jehoiada, he eliminated Athaliah after the king was anointed. Now, it says, Joash was against Amaziah, and King Amaziah says it came from God because they worshipped gods of Edom. So he could not be wiser to stop what is about to come. But the Bible says, Joash, verse 23 says, Joash, the king of Israel, took Amaziah, the king of Judah, the son of Joash, and the son of Jehoiakim at Beth Shemesh, and brought him to Jerusalem, and break down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate. So, the same family, they were influencing one another. There was a destruction upon the wall of Jerusalem gate from Ephraim to the corner gate. By who? King Joash. Now let's go to 2 Kings. It was 2 Kings, the same chapter 11, 16. 2 Kings 11, 16. At first, I thought it's 1 Kings. 2 Kings 11, 16. It says, they laid hands on her. She went by the way, by the which the horses came into the king's house. And there was she slain. This is the state of Athaliah, who entered through the gate of beasts. It was meant for horses to enter. And King Joash also caused some damage to the walls and the gates. In the New Testament, we remember 70 AD, the temple was destroyed by Romans. And during the captivity, there are a lot of kingdoms came. They all caused damage to walls and gates. And Nehemiah looks at the gates in the desolate condition. He cries to the Lord, and the Lord gave him the promise to rebuild the wall. Nehemiah, Jehoiada, Joash, Amaziah, and all the kingdoms, even after the resurrection of Christ, the temple was always attacked, even today. Attacked in the name of splitting, dividing. So now we heard different names of gate, Ephraim, corner gate, and Nehemiah, different people. Now it is time for us to go to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31 is where it is beautifully unfolded what happened between the prophet of God and the children of God. Chapter 31, verse 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. It says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Because two kingdoms divided. Kingdom of Israel, kingdom of Judah. And the Lord says, I will make a new covenant. Verse 32, he says, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. The Lord says, I did not break the covenant. You have already broken the covenant. So I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, house of Judah, because I promised Abraham, because he promised Abraham, the father of all nations. And he promised all the servants, David, Solomon, Moses, all the servants where you received the promises. And he says, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. That's why I said, Book of Jeremiah is a wonderful book for us to understand why the Lord called himself as a husband. You broke the covenant. You defiled the oath of him as her husband. And the Lord says, I had to make a new covenant. Verse 33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God. They shall be my people. Verse 34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. The Lord says, I am giving you a new covenant. I am restoring you again. I was your husband. You ran away from me. I am restoring you again. This is the first four verses of the new covenant in 31. But let's look at what happens after that. Verse 35, he promises a city will be built. Verse 35. Verse 35 to verse 40. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I pray that all the verses that brings music to our ears from Revelation, Book of Psalm, and now in Jeremiah. I will give sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divided the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. Book of Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10. It says, King of glory shall come in. Who is King of glory? The Lord of hosts is his name. He hosts the door, hosts the doors. The gate, hosts the gates. The Lord hosts the lords. The king hosts the kings. The high priest hosts the priests. Without him, without the spirit, none of us can serve him. We can't reflect him. He is the true light. Now, we read verse 36. If those ordinances depart before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. How come he can say that? He told Abraham, your seed I will greatly multiply, like stars in the heaven, sand on the earth. And he told Eve, your seed and the seed of serpent I'll put enmity. And you will greatly, with a great multiplication of sorrow, you will conceive the son. And he comes and says, the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. The Lord says, it is the truth. If he is not merciful, just visualize where you would be, where I will be. Without his mercy, where we would be standing now. The Lord says, I will make the seed of Israel that they will not become a nation anymore forever. The Father in heaven speak to them. Jesus Christ tell the woman, I came for the lost sheep of Israel. That word of God speaks to all of us. I will make the seed as if it does not exist. He speaks. He is not lying. Verse 37. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord, from the tower of Hananel unto the tower of the gate of the corner. Hallelujah. Remember the word, from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate. King Joash was trying to destroy the walls of Jerusalem. And the Lord says, I will build the tower of Hananel and to the corner gate. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord, not to men, built to the Lord, the holy city. Now, verse 39. And the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill Gareb, and shall compass about to God. And the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes and all the fields unto the brook of Kidron unto the corner of the horse gate. Why horse gate? Unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east shall be holy unto the Lord. Jehoiada says, do not defile the horse gate by slaying Athaliah inside the house of gate. Slay her outside the house of God. Which means, death will be destroyed when the Lord completes his redemption. Amen? Remember the word, the fire that burns all the time? What prophet represents? It's nothing but pointing to the book of Revelation by different examples. Everything is pointing like a shadow to what the book of Revelation will come and do. What the Lord will come and do. The burning fire, the lake of fire, the death will be destroyed. The Lord says, I will make the place to be a Tophet, a burning place. Now, horse gate toward the east shall be holy unto the Lord. The Lord says, like Moses who was drawing the territory of Israel on the Mount Nebo, I am drawing the territory of my house. He says, holy unto the Lord. The Lord says, I claim the city for me. I claim. He said, it shall not be plucked up nor thrown down anymore forever. Now read the verse again, verse 36, the last part. The seed of Israel shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Now, the word of God is not complete yet. If I stop the chapter there, it's a negative way to end the chapter. Verse 40 says, it shall not be plucked up nor thrown down anymore forever. So now, we heard different words and we must understand the meaning of it. Start from Hinnom Valley. It's a valley of Hinnom. It means it's a dark, gloomy place, which is a simple representation of hell on earth, just for people to understand, where it is also called the hill of evil counsel, where all the evil people gather, they counsel together. But it's a valley, but the Lord mocks them by saying, hill of counsel. You think you are on a hill, you are on a valley. So, it's a valley, but it's called the hill of evil counsel. Then we heard Ananil, it means graciously given, where the grace of God have preeminence, the tower of Ananil, tower of grace. Then Garab means it's a rough place. I believe the name could have been inspired from the mighty servant of David, who was one of the superheroes of his time. His name was recorded as David's, a soldier. His name is also Garab. A rough place, not a smooth place, a rough place. That is Garab. Goat means lowing or bellowing, which means sound of cattle, right? Like in the valley, a lot of cattle, they eat the pasture. They're actually, like making some noise for eating or crying in pain or whatever. Some noise is coming. That is what is called as, goat. And Tophet means fireplace. Mia means hundred. A tower of hundreds. These are the names the Lord used to show the demarcation. Now, let's keep the picture of the gates. Book of Nehemiah. Now, let's go to Jeremiah 17, brother. Verse 19 to 27, please. Jeremiah 17, 19 to 27.
Thus said the Lord to me, go and stand at the gate of the children of the people by which the gates of Judah come in and Amen. By which they go out.
Amen.
And in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by these gates. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourself and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day,
Amen.
As I commanded your fathers. But they did not obey nor incline their ear, but made their necks stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall be, if you heed me carefully, says the Lord, to bring the burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, by hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work in it, then shall the gates of this city, the gates of this city, kings and princes sitting on the throne of David,
Amen.
Riding in chariots and on horses,
Amen.
They and their princes, accompanied by the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever.
Forever.
And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin, and from the lowland, from the mountains, and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, bringing sacrifices of praise to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
But if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the places of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched.
Amen and amen. How beautifully the scripture conforms to different chapters, different verses for all of us to understand the divine work of God that is beyond time. Yesterday, today, forever. Now, let's go step by step what Brother Clement just read to all of us. Verse 19 says, gate of the children of the people, The Lord says to the prophet, stand at the gate. This is very important. Moses come down from the mountain after spending some good soaking time of Shekinah glory with the Lord. The Lord says, enough, Moses, go down. Your people are making golden calf to profane my name. So Moses goes down. He understands the assignment. He says, the Bible says, he stood at the gate and he asked the people, those who are a side of God, come this side. Those who do not, go other side. He draw a line, but he was standing at the gate. Then after that, 3,000 were slain to clean the camp. If not, the Lord would have consumed them all. But yet he plagued them. Even after Moses interceded for them, the Lord did not let them escape. He still plagued them because he's righteous. Now we bring here to Ezekiel and to Prophet Jeremiah. It's the same. He tells their vessels, the Lord, he says, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people. I thought children of God. I thought children of light. The Lord says, go and stand at the gate of the children of the people. Lord, children of God, children of the people. Whereby the kings of Judah come in. Lord, book of Psalms, chapter 24. King of glory shall come in. That is my gate. Kings of Judah shall come in. The gate of people. Wherever any name, any ministry, any minister, any servant, any prophet, any messenger, anyone other than the name of Jesus Christ, if it replaces the reverence and honor, if it replaces the glory to give to the Lord, it is completely unacceptable to the Lord Almighty. Completely unacceptable. And he says, people of the gate and the kings of Judah come in by the which they go out in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all the kings, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. This few verses, you would see the word gates keep on repeated several times, similar to the book of Revelation. Why such importance given? But not just that. The Lord ends the chapter by saying, I will burn the gate. Isn't it? The Lord says, I will burn the gate. It was literally burnt. He literally burnt the gates. Now, verse 25 is, we have to focus. Then shall there enter into the gates of the city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David. Something with the David. Something with this man of God. There is something that is absolutely so, so beautiful for us to continue to learn about David. Because Jehoiada says, all the princes, all the priests, are you all ready? Yes. Adversary is coming. You need armor. I am going to give you the special armor of high priest Jehoiada. No. The Bible says Jehoiada went to the house of David, took the spears and helmets and all the tools of equipment, armor of David. It is explicitly captured. Jehoiada, high priest, took the armor of David and gave it to his princes. And when they are clothed, they were ready. They were ready. But yet, the anointing was completed first. The king was ordained first before Athaliah was slain. That is the work of the Lord. The king of glory shall come in before death will be destroyed forever. Amen? Same pattern. Because he don't do different things. Now, here it says, verse 25, kings and princes sitting upon their throne of David. How many people can sit on the same throne? It's not fair, Brother Clement. There is a grammatical mistake. It should be kings and princes sitting upon identical thrones of David or multiple thrones of David. No, throne of David, table of David, the son of Saul, the family line of Saul, the lame, the son who was lame, he was given a seat in the table of David. It says table of David. And now it says throne of David, because David always represents the son of David, Jesus Christ, in the earthly realm. Because he says, son of David, son of David. Now, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, this city shall remain forever and ever. Now, this is a promise because the Lord says, if you hearken unto me diligently. Amen. Now, why the term neck came again? Look at that, verse 23. But they obey not, neither incline their ear, and made their neck stiff, that they might not hear, nor receive instruction. And book of Jeremiah is all about, they received not correction. The book of Jeremiah. Correct? They received no correction. Book of Jeremiah. So Lord had no choice but to do what he has spoken. Now, chapter 37. Jeremiah chapter 37. Many kings dies in between. We will come to that later. There are five kings, right? Jeremiah was working with five different kings, all removed one by one. And the last one, eyes were removed, taken by the king of Babylon as a captive. There is a reason why they were all going through different process. 37, let's read verse 1 to 12. This is King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made the king in the land of Judah. But neither he, nor his servants, nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. We all know the Lord always deals with one major prophet at a time, but the word major minor may conform into our flesh. But we have to remember, when the Lord is doing his work, he used one vessel for one task. Amen? When he filled his prophets, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, if you look at the books, Isaiah comes first, Jeremiah comes next, Ezekiel comes later. His three books are closely knitted together. But the Lord was doing different works, different places, with different purpose, but one God. Because this is very important to understand why Prophet Samuel is so, so important. The Bible says, in those days, the words of the Lord were so rare, which means the Lord was not speaking to anyone. Complete silence. Because he could not find a vessel to land. There was no vessel for him to host. Then he called, "My dear daughter Hannah, come and cry." So she made her barren. She went into the valley of pain, sorrow, agony, pain. Then she conceived Prophet Samuel in that burden. Then he gave him to the Lord, saying, "My son is for you," like Abraham. "My only son for you." The Lord said, "This is exactly what I want. I will use Prophet Samuel like no one else." He was so important, Prophet Samuel. He divided the season of people of Israel from judges to kings. Amen. He is in between as one single vessel, one prophet. And before Samuel came, the Bible says the word of the Lord was so rare, dry, thirsty land. Then the Lord sent the fountain of life. Same for Prophet Jeremiah. But the only problem is Jeremiah is like a vinegar, full of bitter. He will give you medicine, but everything is bitter and bitter and bitter. Like the truth that is also bitter, but sweet to the stomach. So because of that, people did not like Jeremiah because he had no big background, no army, no nothing. They were used to the era of kings. They were not used to the era of prophets. Do you understand? God left the kings. He was working on the prophets. But people were still working with the kings. Kings, kings. And Jesus came also as a king, but not with a throne, with a sparrow, simple clothes, and with a sheep and donkey. They couldn't recognize him. Now, here it says, verse 3, Zedekiah the king sent Jehukal and the son of Shelemiah and Zephaniah, the son of Messiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Pray now unto the Lord our God for us." Do you see the inclusion, "our God"? He did not say, "thy God." Amen? There is still hope. Now Jeremiah came in and went out among the people. So came in and went out among the people. The gate of the children of the people. David went in, he came in, he went out, he died not. There was an entry point. They had not put him into prison. Jeremiah was enjoying liberty. But a weeping prophet should be in prison. So in that little freedom, he was speaking the truth. to make sure he's provoking everyone for them to be angry and put him in the prison. Verse 5, then Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt, and when the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. So, in the Old Testament, Pharaoh says, Moses, I wish I will never see your face again. And Moses said, let it be as you said. Moses did not see the face of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh did not see the face of Moses. You could see the same today when you think about land of Egypt. Verse 6, then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say to the king of Judah, that sent you unto me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. So the Lord said, they will return to their own land. So don't worry. But let's focus on verse 8. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against the city and take it and burn it with fire. Why to burn with fire? Because he had spoken. Chaldeans. Jeremiah says, if you go and run and hide shelter in Chaldeans, you may live. But the very same Chaldeans I will use to burn. That is why I have been telling several times, whenever we experience storms, struggles, problems, adversaries, tell yourself, the Lord is still in complete control of my life. Praise Him, worship Him. You do not know. You may say something against God Himself if you don't understand what's happening. Solomon was trying to kill two adversaries all his life. The wisest of all the kings could not even find them. Why? It was not God's will. Because the Lord was the one sent the two adversaries to keep Solomon at bay. Because God knows he is so wise. He wants him to be grounded. He made him to be busy. Keep on chasing a mirage that he would never find. So that Solomon would not die as an unfaithful king. Do you understand? Adversaries are there for you to exercise your faith. To be humble, to be grounded, to be rooted. God is still in control. Now, Chaldeans, verse 9, thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourself, that's what I said, saying, the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. The Lord says, don't tell yourself, oh, this sickness will completely disappear. The Lord says, I want you to enjoy the sickness for some more time. For what? I will build up your faith. Oh, sorry, Lord, let it be as you said. The Lord says, they may say, they will depart, they will falsely prophesy. The Lord says, they shall not depart. The Lord was also testing all the false prophets, sorcerers, fortune tellers, by provoking them to prophesy left and right, and he would expose them by themselves. Why? He don't have to speak. Because they are used to speak as if God spoke. So they cannot keep their mouth shut. They will keep speaking as if He spoke. And the Lord would say, you have spoken when I have not spoken. Verse 10. For thou ye hast smitten the whole army of Chaldeans, the fight against you, and there remained but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn his city with fire. The Lord says, until the very last man stand, he will do what I told them to do. Verse 11, and it came to pass that when the army of Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army. So, the army of Pharaoh, army of Chaldeans, they were playing their game so precisely without knowing. But in the end, the work of the Lord was completed. Now, ask yourself. The servants of God are in between. The adversaries of God are doing the work of the Lord. Am I correct? The truth is, whole earth, remember this, listen to this. Whole earth, all wickedness, all the adversary, all the darkness, all the principalities, all the demonic forces, all the good people, all the blessed places, everything will work towards fulfillment of what God said. The only difference is those who fulfill His to please His spirit and those who profane and also fulfill His judgment. Nobody can escape from the bucket of God's fulfillment. Either I'm a Tophet, a blaze of burning fire, or I am Bethel, a place of hallowed place. I can choose Bethel or Tophet. Like Ichabod. The glory of the Lord can live or can stay. So now, we will close in a few minutes. Let's read this verse 12. Then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin. Benjamin, Benjamin, Benjamin. I started loving this beautiful servant of God, Benjamin, so much after I studied about Rachel. Rachel, Eve. Benjamin, man of sorrows. Jesus Christ, man of sorrows. And we are all called to receive the promise of the sorrow will turn into joy. And Benjamin is very important. The last son who fulfilled the purpose of Jacob's life. And Jeremiah says, forget about it. I'm going to separate myself to Benjamin, the land of Benjamin. Where is the city of Anathoth? In the land of Benjamin. Now, he says, in the midst of the people. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, so now there is gate of Benjamin, not gate of children of the people, but gate of Benjamin, the son of Israel. You see the identification. Now, Jeremiah is about to escape, right? He's at the gate of Benjamin. I'm very close. I'm going to finish the marathon race. Going to touch just a ribbon. Then, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Irijah, the son of Shelmiah, the son of Hananiah, two generations addressed to either bless the families or curse the families to what they do later. If you look at this, sometimes when a name is mentioned, it will be said the son of Jesse. Sometimes it will go two generations. There is a reason and you will be surprised. Because the Lord says three generations. Amen? Three generations. Why? And he took Jeremiah the prophet saying, thou fallest away to the Chaldeans. Now Jeremiah said, I was so close to escape. And the Lord says, I got you. Verse 14. Then said Jeremiah, it is false. I fall not away to Chaldeans. But he hearkened not to him. Jeremiah would say, I'm not surprised. You did not hearken unto God. Who am I? A simple man. You also will not hearken unto me. What happens after that? So Irijah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princess. Wherefore the princess were wroth with Jeremiah. Why? They believed what the gatekeeper said. They believed not what the prophet said. Gatekeeper, right? Irijah is the gatekeeper. Potiphar was also a gatekeeper. Amen? Prison keeper of Joseph. Now, Irijah is like Potiphar to Jeremiah the Joseph. Then, they smote him. Why they smote Jeremiah? Why they laid their hands on him? You don't touch God's prophet. Don't they learn from their forefather, King Saul, who is also from the tribe of Benjamin? He simply tore the cloth of Prophet Samuel. His kingdom was divided. And they smote Jeremiah, who was filled with the Spirit of God, a prophet. What will happen? The word smote him, it was meant to be recorded. Because Jesus was also smitten by people of flesh. Now, and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe. For they had made that the prison. The prison was not made by God. We studied this verse when we started the sermon. The very first sermon. Now we are coming back here with the definition of gates of Benjamin, gates of Ephraim, corner gate. Now, verse 16. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, which means the Lord beautifully found a rental place for Jeremiah with food, security guard for him to be safe and sound. Correct? Now Jeremiah can pray. He can be filled with more and more prophecies. He can come out and roar like a lion. He found a safe haven. Like Joseph also found a safe haven. Why? Zedekiah will not kill Jeremiah. Zedekiah said, can we worship our God? Can we pray now, Lord, our God? So there were a lot of misunderstanding between Zedekiah and Jeremiah. Like people like Irijah, Jonathan the scribe, princes were trying to deceive the mind of king to kill Jeremiah. Rings a bell. Herodias tells Herod, kill John the Baptist. But she knows how to tell the husband by sending the damsel to dance in front of him on his birthday. And they asked the birthday gift. What is the cake? The head of John the Baptist. And the king said, oh, I'm so deceived by your love. Take it. Who else? King Ahab, deceived by wife Jezebel. She deceived him. Let's kill Prophet Elijah. Athaliah rose against royal seeds to destroy all of them. But one seed escaped, Joash. How important it is, Jehoiada kept one seed, then he multiplied again. All destroyed, but not all of it. There was some remnant. And the Lord says, I can raise my nation from them. No one is indispensable. Now, verse 17, Zedekiah king sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house, because he respected the prophet, and said, is there any word from the Lord? Now you understand why Zedekiah kept him safe in the prison. Why? There was no prophet other than Jeremiah. They all know everybody is a fake, false sorceress. King Zedekiah knows he is a man of God. So he kept him safe. He was going with the flow. And Jeremiah said, there is, for said he, thou shalt be delivered. Tell me, into the hand of King Babylon. Come on. Something better. Give some time. Yes, you will be delivered in the King Babylon, in the hand of Babylon. Now, the rest of the verses we will read next Sunday. I want to finish with this beautiful proverb. Athaliah stood at the heart gate, saw the king anointed, people were praising, worshipping. There was a joy, amen? And she said, treason, treason. She tore her clothes and she was screaming, correct? She was screaming. Proverbs chapter 8. There was one more woman was also screaming, but she is not a woman. Not the woman that you think of. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. Verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? Her voice, right? Not his voice. I was meditating. Why understanding put forth her voice? Now, remember this. What is understanding? Knowing Jesus Christ is understanding. Everything else is lack of understanding. Knowing my Savior is my wisdom. Everything else is nothing. Vanity. Now, the Lord says, I am the wisdom, I give my wisdom. Amen? I am the true understanding, the truth, I give my truth. The one who receives who? The bride. Amen? Who receives it? When a woman marries the husband gives a name. But in our case, he gave his life. He died for us. So, the bride receiving the wisdom of the Lord, we speak about him. Like the woman, the Samaritan woman, who went into the city, brought people to Jesus, who was seated at the Jacob's well. Now, just have this inspiration, then continue verse 2. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye, simple, understand wisdom. Understanding is wisdom. Wisdom is understanding. Understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be the right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination unto the is an abomination to my lips. That's why Prophet Isaiah says, my lips are undone. No, I'm not. It's unclean lips. The Lord says, I'm going to anoint you. Now, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 19. Let's all stand as we close. 14, verse 19. 14, verse 19. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The evil bow before the good. Jesus Christ comes. All the demonic possessed vessels, they cry unto him, son of David, why have you come to torture us? It is not the appointed time, because they know. And the wicked are the gates of righteous, because the Lord draws a line. Gates of righteousness, gates of unrighteousness. Proverbs chapter 1, as we all read together and close. Chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. Remember all the gates, all the places, by God's grace we shall continue when He grants us the grace. Chapter 1, verse 10. Chapter 1, verse 20. Book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in the scorning, and the fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Let's all pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, our Lord, our blessed Redeemer, you have promised us that you will pour out thy spirit upon all of us. And Lord, here we are, O Lord, as one congregation of the Lord, as one family of God, we all lift up our hearts and we seek the pouring out of the Spirit upon all of us every single day of our life, O Lord. Soak us, Lord, in your wisdom, for the wisdom cry unto all of us at the gates, at the opening of the gates. And Lord, I pray, may you open the hearts of every one of us standing here today, O Lord, that we receive thy promise, thy blessed assurance, that we understand the fruit of the Holy Ghost is given to all of us, that we open the gate of faith, gate of joy, gate of peace, gate of long-suffering, gate of meekness, gate of temperance. O Lord, everything is a way for us to receive the way, Jesus Christ. May you bless us, Lord, that we remain like the city of Jerusalem, the holy city that glorifies your name, where the gates are not shut, for there is no night, no lie, no confusion, no secrecy, no hypocrisy, no filthiness, no wickedness, but nothing but the truth, nothing but the whole truth, the Son of Man, the sunlight that shineth in our life forever, that we understand what the 12 tribes went through, what the 12 apostles went through, for all of us to be here singing songs unto thee. We are humbled by your mercy. In Jesus Christ's name we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.